If you have a music business, you can transfer all your metadata to the right places to claim and register so that the claiming process can be done appropriately and efficiently, right? So we are providing a platform that's flexible enough to support all different segments within the music industry.
Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest today is founder and director of metadata management company Noctil, Jacob Varghese. Jacob has over 24 years of experience leading complex technology projects in telecom, media, and entertainment industries with Fortune 500 companies. Noctil helps record labels, music publishers, and performance rights organizations to better organize, verify, and deliver their metadata in order to make sure that everyone gets paid. Unfortunately, there's no standardization for metadata distribution, so Noctil plays a vital role in getting the right metadata to the right music delivery service. During the interview, we spoke about the different forms of metadata, why it's so important to music creators, so-called black box money that artists can't get their hands on, metadata roadblocks, and so much more. I spoke with Jacob from his office via Zoom.
Hello, Jacob. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
Tell my audience why metadata is so important in the first place.
I think, in the music industry, so we see all the glamorous side of the music industry, the creativity and, the audience and, you know, how do you connect with the audience and things like that. But we often miss the part where how you collect, how do you earn the money from the actual use of that content elsewhere, right? So it's very important. The metadata is very important to get that money from the, you know, from the usage, from the content provider to actual writers. That's the most important thing of the metadata. And also it has other value in terms of how your content is, for example, discovered in this new media, right? So how do you, for example, you have a lot of different attributes of your content. You have a context. So how can you, for example, somebody wants to listen to some very specific song, or even a sync licensor wants to get a specific song for their audio, video. So it's very important to have this additional information that can provide a helpful indication to discover it. So it's not very glamorous side of the music business, but metadata is very, very important.
I think among artists anyway, there's a lot of confusion of what exactly is required when it comes to metadata. So what are the requirements? And you just mentioned that in order to find things, then you might need other metadata. So I would assume that that's something that's not integral to what exactly is needed.
Sure. So let me explain the process, right? So your content, the music is played, you know, many of these places, whether it's a DSP or in the radio stations or in the public venues, things like that. So typically what happens is these are licensed as a blanket license. You give this license to these, you know, agencies, and they play these songs. At the end of the day, they send you back as a list of logs, a usage log. Okay, this is what we played. And the license owners needs to take that and identify who is the right owners of these specific tracks, right? So when you identify, how do you identify that track? In order to identify that track, it's not based on actual content. Right? It's based on the metadata they provide, right? So they can have, MRT technologies there. You can have like a fingerprinting identification and things like that. But you still need to connect that fingerprinting ID to actual metadata that provide all this additional information about who are the right owners of the sound recording side as well as the publishing side of it, right? So this is where the identification is much more important. So all these agencies, PROs or MLCs, they all required to do this matching process. So based on this usage log, they are going to match against their catalog or, repertoire data, right? So when they match it, if you don't have a proper way to identify these tracks against this content or the repertoire, you can't basically distribute that money, right? So some of the content, like you can have ISRC for the sound recording side or ISWC for the work side, the publishing side of the equation. So, but it's very important to provide that when you register your catalog, when you register your sound recording with these agencies or when you distribute it, provide that information, right? It should go through this complete process. It should go through this, the supply chain along with the content. It needs to go through all this identifiable metadata so that, all these agencies can identify and distribute the money, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I get that. One of the problems is what happens if the metadata is improperly filed or incomplete? What happens?
Yeah, so there are so many situations. Like, for example, if you have a catalog with the 10 writers, for example, and the PRO is going to get 10 different versions of that, right? And let's say if they don't get 10 different versions, they'll get only eight versions. So the list of right owners in that catalog is incomplete. So when you have that incomplete situation, right, so you already have 10 people, but nobody, 10th person is not yet claimed or registered that. So it's the data for that particular catalog is incomplete. So when they have a money associated to this particular, some agents, they hold that money because they don't have the full view of that. They can't distribute the whole money to these 9 people, right? So they have to wait for the complete data to be there. So that's why it's incomplete data in many, many ways. It's exactly like no data, and sometimes because they can't do much, So that's why, how can we provide a complete picture, not only just the work side, also from the sound recording side? So all these right owners information should be there. All the identifier information should be there. All the other, if we can provide additional information for discoverability, that's better, right?
Okay, I didn't realize that. So you're saying that if there's 10 writers and they only get the information from 9 of them, then the money is not distributed to any of them until they get it all?
In some cases, they hold it. They hold it till they to find the food, because they cannot, they have like $100 for that. They cannot just distribute $100 to these 9 people because then the 10th person is coming.
Yeah.
Then, right, it's a difficult situation. So some agency will hold it.
That's black box money, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a black box money, yeah.
Okay, so your company, Noctil, so how do you then help everybody get paid and get the right metadata where it's supposed to be?
We created as a metadata management platform, not only for the rights management organization. It can be used across the board from the publishing side, from the labels, from the administrators, from the artists, right? So it can be used for registering your metadata along with your, if you have a music business, you can transfer all your metadata to the right places to claim and register so that can be, that the claiming process can be done appropriately and efficiently, right? So we are providing a platform that's flexible enough to support all different segments within the music industry. For example, so if you go to a publishing site, your metadata is different than if you go to a label site, a master site, right? So you need to have a complete view, right, in one place. So how can you provide that? So that's what we are providing as a platform for giving the full view of the metadata, including the master side and the work, the publishing side.
So you're one-stop shop, basically. You upload the metadata to you, and then you get it out to the right places. Is that what you're saying?
We can get to the right places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It seems like one of the problems is there's no standards in what metadata is supposed to be included. But I get the impression that what you're doing is almost standardizing things somewhat.
So our platform provide a mechanism to transform different metadata into different standards. So if you're collecting from one side of the source, and they can be like just provide CSV file or can be something else. And we support different standards. For example, we support DataX, we support CWR. So if you want, your catalog should be registered with a PRO, a bulk process, we can convert your data into a CWR format that way the PRO can consume that data. But if you send this to a label, once you send it to a neighboring rights society, it's going to be in a different format. It's going to be in an XML DataX format, for example. So you have all the flexibility to manage all these different industry standards. And also there is a new standard. It's all flexible to configure that different standards in our platform. So that is what data communication and collaboration is making possible in our platform, so that they can easily collaborate the work data with the master repertoire data as well.
Yeah, okay, I see. So it has to be flexible because it's different requirements.
Yeah,
got it. Okay, so I saw something on your site that says no code platform. What does that mean?
To support all these different segments, like each of these publishing side or the label side or the neighboring rights, or even we support audiovisual side, right? So in order to support that, you need to have a very flexible platform where you can configure everything, your metadata, the way you want in that particular segment wants, based on what particular segment standard is, right? So you need to have that flexibility to change it. And some cases, in some countries, it's completely different than the other country, right? So that is why we started to support one segment, but we realized that this is not going to work for the different segments. So we need to build something which is much more configurable, easy to, implement, right? That is why we built this as a no-code platform. So everything is based on the configuration. So your data structure is configured, your business process is configured, your different business modules are configured. For example, if you want to do a matching, you can add the matching module. If you want to do the distribution calculation, you can add the distribution calculation, right? So that way, it's all configured, and you don't need to spend months or years to implement it.
There are 15 simple mix fixes that can instantly take your mixes from amateur to pro level. These are the secrets that the top engineers know that most musicians don't. That's what you'll find in my Mix Fix playbook. Head to go.bobbyosinski.com/mixfix to check it out now.
Process or the new project, it can be done within weeks.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, your background is not in the music business, right? You were doing different things before Nuktel, right?
Yeah. So my background is, I'm a technologist. My background is in telecom and media before. I've been working in the telecom sector for almost 15 years. Prior to this, I was working on different technical projects. And this coming to music industry was, somewhat accidental, I would say. So one of my colleagues wanted me to review some of the requests for proposal. This is in 2012, I believe. So the proposal was to build a global repertoire management system for a consortium of performer societies. If you're familiar with the SCAPR. So we want to build this global repertoire management system. So that is the first time I even, I didn't have any knowledge of music industry, the back office side of it. I don't know. I didn't know anything about the rights management. That's the first time I even heard the term neighboring rights. So that was the first opening for me to even go into, learn about music rights. And I'm also very interested, I'm very passionate about music, and I have a very good appreciation about the musicians. So I spent time to learn how the musicians get money from the usage of their content. So that's the initial step for me to get into this music, business, not the complete business, but the back office side of it.
Is metadata common in other industries as well?
Yeah. It's a metadata common in many other industries as well.
But to the same importance as in music.
I think there are industries where it's important, but I think the music and audiovisual industries, it's unique in the sense, like, your content distribution, it goes into two paths, right? So it's important to have the metadata for all your calculations or your collection or your distribution. But unfortunately, the path of actual content distribution and the actual, going the metadata is in two different paths, in two different timeframes, right? So that's kind of, difficult in this music industry and the audiovisual industry. But it is, there are other industries that is important as in the music industry, for example, in the healthcare and things like that. Yeah.
So when you talk about being a technologist, you're talking about mostly the back end of everything that's happening, right? Back end of things that you're building.
Yes, I know. But, typically it's more of a technical solution for any of the, how do you solve a business problem with technology? So okay. In order to do that, you really need to understand the business as well. So what really the business, the end user benefit from a solution, right? So yeah. What problem they are trying to solve as a business, right? So you need to understand that, but it's, yes, my role, my experience is mostly understanding that, converting that into a solution and using technology or technology tools to solve that problem.
One of the things that I think is, I don't want to say it's common with other industries, but you do see is the fact that there may be great technology going on under the hood, and the user interface is lacking. So, and the problem, I think, is you can have a lot of brilliant people that are really good at what they're doing, but not necessarily on that end. That's a different skill entirely, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it is in both ways it happens, right? You have sometimes you have look at the music industry right now. There's so many things going on in the front end. So it's a very, very good technology is going on the front end. So that is, the usage side, the consumer side it's changing completely. But in the backside is not changing that fast, right? What I meant is that the technology, most of these companies are using very old legacy systems, but that cannot keep up with the changes, what's happening in the front end, how you consume. If you look at the conception of music from, early 2000s to now, so it's changed completely, right? So the streaming, how that these systems or technology is not capable of dealing with this huge amount of data. So it's a micro transactions, right? So it's both ways, I think. It's not only the you have the good technology in the back end and you have a bad user experience. It's also, you have a bad, you know, good user experience at the front, very bad systems at the back.
I know right now with streaming services, you don't get paid unless someone listens for 30 seconds. And there's a lot of proposals to change that, where there's going to be maybe a different tier. If someone listens to the entire song to the end, they'll get, it'll be a higher royalty rate. There's some talk about if someone, the user-centric payout, where if you spend your whole $10 fee, subscription fee per month listening to one artist, then they get that entire $10. Does that change the metadata at all? Does that change what you need to do on your end?
I don't think whether it's a pro rata or user-centric model will change the metadata. So how they collect and distribute, the calculate the distribution is going to change, right? So they need to know, you know, if it's going from a pro rata to a user-centric model. That means if I am a customer for any of these DSPs and I pay $15 or $20 per month, and what I am listening to, right, my favorite artist will get most of my money,
yeah,
right? That makes sense, right? But that is only from the distribution side. They calculate it. So they know the user. They know the user. They know the content, right? They know the usage, you know, data. So it doesn't change the metadata structure or anything. It's just going to change the distribution side of it. And it's going to help the artist maybe more, because they can connect with actual, you know, the users of, you know, his or her content.
Is there a limit to the amount of metadata that one can use?
No, there is no limit. As far as I know, there is no limit for the, you know, the metadata to be, you know, yeah. I mean, if you look at some of the symphony, right? So there are like hundreds of people in that, in a symphony, right? So if you look at, you know, this, you know, the lineup is so huge, and you need to have all this data in that, you know, part of the repertoire, right? If you're asking that specific one, you know, songs or one track's repertoire, I don't think there is a limit.
Okay, a technical limit, but a practical limit.
Yeah, so practical limit is there. So even this orchestra, how do you distribute money, and how do you find this? It's technically, it's a very difficult to do that, because most of those companies, when they look at the classical music, they just take, okay, this orchestra played this year to this year. So they don't look at all the lineup. They look at, okay, from this year to this year, who played in that orchestra, and then they distribute it, right? So some cases they have this way to do things based on, you know, the volume of metadata. So they keep the roster separately than actual, so they separate this actual content of the, you know, identification of this, you know, the song and track and things like that with the lineup.
If there's incomplete metadata or incorrect metadata, that's not your problem, right?
We are trying to solve that problem, right? So we are trying to help to enrich that problem, you know, the metadata. How can we collaborate from different sources and connect all that points and enrich? How can you enrich that? That is what we are trying to solve. If it is an incomplete, how can we make it complete? How can we make it, how can we collect all the information to make it complete? That is what we are trying to do.
So would you just flag something and say, well, this isn't, well, you could do that if it was not there. It's easy to flag it, but if it's incomplete, how would you know?
Yeah, it's really difficult to know, you know, unless there is a claim, right? Someone else is claiming, right? Or if it is incorrectly claiming, right? Then you will know. And typically, most of these, for example, like in US, most of session musicians or the non-featured artist data is coming from either they do looking at the liner notes or looking at the union data or something like that. So it's a very difficult process to collect all that. They don't have, it's really, really incomplete. And it's because, you know, you don't have that much resource to even do that, you know, the research to collect and put together all that data. And you won't know that if it's incomplete or, you know, you won't know that it's, you know, incorrect until if there is a conflicting transaction come to that particular, you know, track.
I know that the way it used to be, and I'd be surprised if it still is like this, because the record labels realize how important this is, but it used to be that the lowest person on the totem pole, the one that was just hired, usually got the job of entering metadata, and many times they were not trained well, and if they didn't understand something, they just let it go and move on to something else. So there was a rash of incomplete metadata for a long time. I'd be surprised if it's still like that, because I think everybody realizes what how important it is.
Yeah, I think today it's much more, you know, people are aware of it, it's getting aware of it, at least this part of the world. I'm talking about if you go to the developing countries, it's a completely different situation. But this part of the world, everyone is aware of it. And they try to put maximum, you know, their information, at least their own. Like, for example, labels, they put all their information. They may not put the publisher's information, right? But, you know, it's kind of everyone, each of those, you know, stakeholders that they have interest, they put their, you know, their data. But it's a matter of collaborating everything together. That's where the challenge is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, last question, Jacob, and thank you for your time. This is great. It's a very good education here. What's the best piece of advice that maybe somebody imparted to you or you learned along the way?
You know, wherever, whatever you're doing, I think we need to have a focus and we need to continue going into the details and stay focused till you, you know, succeed. Right. So I think having a goal, setting up that goal and stay focused to that goal is an important thing for me. And that's what I'd probably give to anyone as an advice to.
Excellent. It's very nice to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Bobby. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
And I hope we speak again soon.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyosinski.com. You can also learn all about the latest in music, audio, and production news, and find out about openings for my latest online classes at bobbyosinski.com. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.